Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable in this edition of WAMC Uninterrupted, a new kind of focus series where we remind you of some of the programming that you can't get anywhere than other on the WAMC airwaves, apps, and website. Today, we're going to focus on The Media Project. One of our national productions programs, The Media Project, takes you inside the newsroom and examines how news is made and what shapes the headlines. It is one of our most popular programs with many of you out there. And here in studio this morning to talk about it with me and each other is WAMC's Morning Edition host and multi-show producer, David Gustina. Hi, Gussie.
Good morning, Sarah. So glad to be here with you.
It's exciting to talk to you about this aspect of your work so that people can hear.
The Media Project.
Former editor of the Times Union, sub-stacker, WAMC commentator, and co-host of The Media Project, Rex Smith, is here. Good morning, Rex.
This is very exciting to be stepping into this studio from that studio behind my back here. This is really a posh spot, you know.
You finally made it to Studio A after
Watch your
all
back,
these
Rex.
Years.
Watch your back.
Also joining us, former editor of the Daily Gazette and former vice president of editorial development at the New York Press Association and frequent contributor to WAMC's Roundtable panel and The Media Project, Judy Patrick. Hi, Judy.
Good morning.
Judy, are you a paid member of the staff yet? My goodness.
It feels like home when I come into work.
Aww.
Well, we do love having you here.
We do.
We are so grateful for your insight. As a reminder, you can support WAMC anytime. We are ensuring that we remain uninterrupted by reminding you again of the excellent programming that we provide. And you can pledge online at WAMC.org or call up and talk to a staff member and make your donation at 1-800-323-9262. For this half hour approximately this morning, you can also email panel@WAMC.org and ask the Media Projector's Media Project questions if you wish to do so, and I will read those out to the guests in studio. But before we get to any of those types of questions, David, what is the goal? What is the mission of the Media Project? What kinds of things do you guys talk about? How do you choose your topics? Let's go deep on the show.
Well, it's any and all issues that are confronting the media that can be as stark as the number of journalists we're losing in wars and other conflicts as a result of the violence that's being perpetrated against them, to the simple rules of journalism, like what does off the record mean, for example, and many of the other types of journalism or lack thereof that we're confronted with now, whether it's through social media or outright biased new, quote, news operations that claim to be, for example, fair and balanced. And when you have to discuss issues of media, you also can't leave out the technology. So after 1,771 programs,
wow.
I checked it yesterday.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow. That's cool. A lot of weeks of shows.
We have covered a lot of those subjects and much more, including when Rex started as host of the show, we began by talking about smoke signals.
Smoke signals.
Yeah, I believe that's when you arrived, before actually.
The first episode.
I took him seriously.
Smoke signals.
I know I shouldn't have.
Stone tablets.
Sorry.
And now.
I couldn't help it.
Digital media.
It has been more than 25 years that I've been doing this show.
You sure
it's
have,
kind of
Rex.
Amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. And when you consider how much has changed in the news media in those years. In fact, 25 years ago, as I recall, I had just been hired as the managing editor of the Times Union before I did that for 7 years before I became the editor. And my boss, Jeff Cohen, who was the editor of the Times Union before me, asked each of us who were in the newsroom leadership, what is your favorite website? He did this because he wanted us to focus on the fact that this new thing, the World Wide Web, is having an impact.
This new thing.
Yeah.
Hearing that.
And I didn't really know what to say. So I went to one of the people who was on the what we then called the Electric TU. That was the Electric TU is the initial
Whoa.
Branding. And I said, well, Dean, what is my favorite website? And he said, well, you know, the New York Times is a good one. So I offered that. And then think of how much has changed. You know, now what we used to think of as newspapers, all of them are primarily digital outlets with print as the secondary delivery medium. So,
and we missed a big thing there, didn't we, Rex, which is the chance to monetize the work that great journalists do through the web. You started by saying, well, we're going to let it go for free, and it's been a struggle ever since to get it back.
Yeah, the goal was get people to adopt this newfangled thing, the web, get people accustomed to looking on the web for your content that the newspaper would produce. But what happened was then folks got accustomed to the idea of information being free, which is fine if advertising can be there to support it, which has not been the case for newspapers for a while.
Yeah, we've watched the decline, and especially of local commerce in. And then what will follow is the loss of local advertising. You know, for me, the Media Project has always been an extension of what I used to do as an editor and at the New York Press Association. Whenever you go out, the public is really fascinated by our industry. Oh, I will get a crowd. People have all sorts of questions, often asking the same kind of questions we try to deal with on the show, which includes the ethics of it and how it works and what we're trying to accomplish. And also, you know, to answer those questions that Alan Shartok used to ask us all the time is, aren't we really just biased against, you know, one thing or another? And we would reply, no, we are trying to take a fair and balanced approach to this. I mean,
And yet his provocative, which is a really great way to get that issue out. And let's remember why Alan created the show, Rex.
To get even. No, Alan felt that there was a lot of work done by the media that took politicians to task. And so he and his colleague, the late Gary Fryer, who had been communication director for Governor Mary Cuomo, decided, let's put this program together where we will hold the media to account the way they hold politicians to account. And so we actually, and that was still when I joined the show, Monty Trammer, the publisher of The Saratogian, was a regular. Fred LeBrun, columnist for the Times Union, had been there. And we thought of ourselves as really something press critics. We were trying in part to show where the news media were failing, as well as to try to explain some of the oddities.
Let me be Alan for a second. Rex, you were press apologist. I was the critic.
And so we did that. We still do that to some extent, but nowadays, oftentimes, a lot of the show is spent trying to defend our industry and talk about the value of it. I mean, it's not something we had to do 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. People have always been critical of the media, naturally, you know, that's just kind of goes with the turf. You're offending somebody when you're pleasing somebody else. But we didn't have the overt hostility that now has been engendered, I have to say, in no small part by the president. Though it has, of course, been around forever, remembering Spiro Agnew when he was vice president talking about the nattering nabobs of negativism in the media. It's just that it's so much nearer to violence these days that it's difficult. And so we find ourselves having to defend the very concept of a free press, which is different from defending the performance of the press. It seems as though a lot of Americans feel as though it's not important at all to have independent news media. And I think this, one of the things that I so appreciate about WAMC is the really solid news report that makes a difference, that gives people fearless coverage, notwithstanding the criticism. And that's what is essential to preserve.
And I think we can also acknowledge that the reason we know that it's working is because of what we hear from you out there. You listen to this station and you tell us in your pledges and in your comments and in your questions how important it is to have a community resource that you can interact with. That's what we have been. We have been a friend to the region. We get together, we talk about our problems, we talk about what's going on. In this case, we created a program to give you an inside look into how the media works. So many people want to accuse, whether it's Rex, Judy, myself, or anybody that's practicing journalism, of outright bias. But when you begin to learn what the criteria for what news is and what the values of news journalism hold, then you begin to understand that there is a difference between fact-based journalism of verification and simple opinions being thrown around by, quote, influencers. And since social media is flooding the zone of information, we lose and have been losing let's just say, America's ability to agree on what's happened today.
Mm. And, you know, it is true, as you say, David, that the independent fact-based reporting is fundamental to what the enterprises that Judy and I led as editors of newspapers. I'm an opinion journalist now. You know, I write something called the Upstate American Weekly, and that is my opinion.
Is it easier?
Yeah. Actually, it is.
I bet it is.
It must be.
But I use other people's reporting in this case rather than my own, unless you can count my research as reporting. I guess you could. But the fact is, people didn't – it's hard to get across to people that even if you may have an opinion, as I always have had an opinion, there are practices and traditions and tenets of journalism that try to get rid of that from the news presentation. You know, we are the editors who go through the content that appears in news stories are trained in ways. It's almost now second nature to try to remove bias from the coverage.
I'd love to bring them into our newsroom and have them hear Ian talking to the reporters and saying, wait, back for revisions. You need to
add
this.
Where's the other side?
Where's
this
part?
Did you call
this
person?
Did we do this? Those kinds of actions are what make us a place to be trusted, a place that you can count on, because we are practicing journalism in the right way. And I believe that public media has tried and been trying to do that since its inception. And it may be the last place that can practice it after the administration gets done to what seems to be an attack on both commercial and public media.
I am a great believer these days in the value of not-for-profit media. Not that for-profit outlets like Judy and I worked for years don't still do extraordinary journalism. They do. But there aren't enough ad dollars anymore to support that. And so what is emerging is this powerful nonprofit ecosystem in which individuals, in the sense of the donors to WAMC, as well as businesses, underwriters, and philanthropists, foundations and such, are donating to make great news organizations grow and thrive. And public media, public radio and public television have shown us for decades now how this is possible, how it can be done. And now it's just becoming a more important part of the ecosystem. Of course, for public broadcasting, that's threatened by the loss of federal support that seems to be coming down the pike. But you have this great system of listeners who have been pitching in for all these years, and you have to assume that they're going to still be there for you. Well, you have to hope.
We have to hope. We can nearly assume, but yes, as you're all saying, in a time of media overload, the Media Project makes sense, helps listeners make sense of what's trustworthy, what's missing, and why it matters. And you can't find this kind of critique and conversation on commercial media because it is funded in part, you know, by our generous underwriters, but also by our incredibly generous and multitudinous listeners out there in the area who want to help make sure the WAMC remains interrupted. And if you are out there thinking now, what can I do? You can always support the station with a pledge at WAMC.org or give us a call at 800-323-9262. Support the station. Ensure that programs like the Media Project can stay around and stay on the air. Keep Rex and Judy in post-retirement jobs.
Jobs, yeah. As though we're compensated, right?
Well, you're working. You are working.
We are working. It's a wonderful thing. It's actually great.
I have to say that, as students of history, and I know our audience is, and that the founder of this program, Alan Chartok, was a great student of history. And he used I find this, I don't know if this has resonated with anybody out there in the listening audience, but Alan used to come on the fun drives. And he would say, when the communists came to town, they took the radio station. When the Nazis came to town, they took the radio station. You don't want your radio station owned by the government or anyone else. You have to put up to support it. Now think about it. Alan is retired. And now they're actually coming directly for the funding of the radio station.
Well, he would say it's because he retired.
Probably.
they found the guts to do it now that he's gone.
But he trained us. He told us what to look out for. Mm-hmm. And he said if at times during when he was here, if one AIDS baby has to die because the state money needs to go for that, give them that money. Let the money go to the AIDS baby, not to WAMC. Understood that when you tangle with politicians, that you can also have that. There could be strings attached and you could have your money taken away. And here we are seeing some of that come to life right now.
Yeah.
So we need you all, and we need you more than ever. Really, really, really true this time.
Well, there really isn't anything like this, like this program or many other programs that you have. There isn't anything like that in the commercial realm. It's simply not true that the multiplicity of digital outlets has yielded the kind of content that we are able to get through public media. Because there is still a commercial imperative for those outfits to support themselves. And the only way that we have had this kind of wonderful reporting, both locally and from NPR and from the many programs that WAMC airs from many sources, is with the public support. So we're conscious of that as we do the media project. You know, we recognize we've talked a lot over the years about the commercial aspects of this, not just the journalistic side. You know, how much has changed since our newspapers used to be fat with advertising and inserts, and those were the days.
The golden years, you know. And on the media project, everyone is subject to criticism. I mean, there have been times when we have criticized NPR, when we have criticized, our own former newspapers. It's a fascinating level of discussion that we're able to do now. It seems like I'm able to look back more retroactively, or able to look back easier now that I'm not working. Because when you're in the trenches, like you're spending 12 hours putting out a newspaper, and you really don't have time to look up and see what's happening. Now I read, watch, listen to news all day long, and it gives me the ability to say, oh, that's not right. I remember Alan being so upset with me when I first came on the roundtable because I didn't want to express a lot of opinions, and he says, that's why you're here. And as soon as I left being an editor, I was able to open up, because when you're an editor, you have to be very careful.
Of course.
Not to be too partisan.
Which should also tell us about the integrity of journalists. It's hard to get working journalists on the program because they don't want to share their opinions. They want to be straight shooters in the gathering of information, and that's not easy. The other thing, Judy, that you've always been great about talking about is the importance of local journalism. That information that's closest to us, proximity, is oftentimes the most important, even if it's just the local flea market. But the idea that we're losing that precious resource too, and you know, there have been so many other radio stations that used to do news around here, and we're kind of the only game in town.
Right. WAMC is local news. Local news is the most trusted form of news. I mean, people tend to trust their local news organization more than they do the national or the
It's like they news. Like the way they like their own Congress representative.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right, Sarah.
But I have to remain optimistic about this. We can't throw in the towel. We have to know that this is so important. We can't give up. We need to find solutions to our declining revenue, whether it be a newspaper or a TV station or a website. We are not a dying industry. We are an important fundamental industry for our democracy. I mean, in this stage of my life, I need to find ways to help protect what people like WAMC, the people at WAMC do, what the local newspapers do, because that is the foundation for all the other stories. A lot of the stuff you're seeing at the national level are stories that began at the local level. And they wouldn't have known about them at the national level unless that local story arose.
Yeah, and it's people here that live here and work here that are doing the commentary and the news and the music choices. All of that is happening here in the Northeast, as opposed to some, you know, national show that gets sent out to 100 commercial stations under the same format. These are real people working and living here in the Northeast. That has to remain. And we haven't even mentioned AI and where that's all going to go. We don't even understand quite yet how that's going to influence information, data, and truth.
It certainly does help in reporting in some instances, I'm told. And I think that we're...
I've heard that the AI is useful.
Yes, we hear this.
We're not scared at all.
No, we're fine.
Let's all be just a bit calm here. Let's calm. But things change so quickly, you know. That's these days. What is the new technology of the day becomes yesterday's technology pretty quickly. Think about when radio first came onto the scene, which was the threat to the print enterprise that had been the way people communicated for centuries. And then radio was supplanted by television. Television supplanted by the digital revolution. The digital revolution being augmented and supplanted by AI. So we are always changing.
I'd add a word. I would say it all converged. Rather than it's all separate, it's all converged into that web form where now you have pictures, audio, and text.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, I say
converged.
To people, sometimes people will say to me as though that I would be happy about this, you know, I still like my print newspaper. Well, I get the print newspaper too, but actually digital is a superior way to convey news because you can update it right away. You have pictures and sound with it. It is instantaneous. So I think that we need to accept that this is the way things are. And it's portable. You know, I have my phone on me like Judy. I'm constantly looking at this thing all day long.
Oh,
which
and unlike,
we all know there's nothing wrong with that. That's good, good for everybody.
And unlike in the old days when you did an interview and you had to edit it down, what was edited out doesn't necessarily end up on the cutting room floor because you can play that whole interview, post it up on the web for someone to listen to it. It's in its entirety. So they're
cutting room floor. What a great outdated concept,
yes.
Isn't it? Well, you
yes.
know, I
smoke signals.
I was recently at my 45th reunion at Columbia Journalism School, where I was
wow.
the alumni.
That's from
project.
College. Is that correct?
No.
Only. So you're the
I'm
only
older.
One left.
I'm the oldest one in the room here, folks. And we showed the documentary that we produced in 1980. And ours was the last class that produced documentaries in 16-millimeter black and white film using hand-me-down cameras from the golden age of CBS News. My professor was Fred Friendly, who was the
legendary
producer. The role that George Clooney played in the movie and is shown now. Yeah, truly. And now George is playing his front guy.
He's playing Murrow.
Murrow.
Yes,
he's playing Murrow
night,
now
good luck.
On stage.
Yes.
And so he saw that a couple weeks ago, too. It was very exciting. So anyway, so much has changed, but we literally did have a cutting room floor. That actually is where stuff went. It's a great image.
WAMC Uninterrupted is about celebrating what makes public radio unique. We've been emphasizing that with our media project guests this morning. What makes public media possible is you. You can give because it matters, because it lasts, and because it's yours. We are hoping to hear from you this morning and, you know, throughout the coming weeks leading up to our fund drive, which begins on June 2nd. The website is wamc.org. The phone number, 800-323-9262. Once again, that's 1-800-323-9262. You can call. We do have staff ready, willing, and able to visit with you for a moment and take your generous donation. We also want to make sure we emphasize thanks for our sustaining members who are always there for us without us having to remind them of the phone number or the website. And it is easy to become a sustaining member by calling or going online. We're so grateful for everyone who donates whatever amount that they can to keep WAMC Uninterrupted. We have about a minute and a half left, you guys.
Do we get to sing the jingle?
Oh.
Go ahead.
1-800-323-9262.
Yeah, I was thinking also that we could do the
go ahead.
Newspaper men be such interesting people.
I didn't know you guys did this
low,
one.
David.
Sorry. So sorry. So sorry,
what
Rex.
Is your voice part, Rex? I was speculating yesterday. That's what I guessed.
Good. Yeah, we just had a wonderful rehearsal for Albany Promusica last night. We're singing with Philadelphia Orchestra in August, the Verdi Requiem. So that'll be an exciting
back.
Thing.
That's
back. Mm-hmm.
I just hope that support for the media project comes through this morning as people call up. It would be nice that we would see a deluge of people calling in and saying, yes, we love that media project and we want
people
to...
do love it. They want it to be longer, right, Gussie? That's they're always asking for it to be longer.
Yes, they are, and they're going to have to keep waiting. We want
always
to leave you
them...
wanting more. That's
go.
Right.
Sorry, didn't mean to step on your line.
Not like it if it went to an hour.
800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. I do think it is a testament to the station that I'm lucky enough to work for that these incredible people from the region will come through all the time to talk to us and tout us and support us. And we're so grateful for your participation regularly. And this morning, thank you, Judy and Rex.
All for free because they love their station.
Absolutely so.
Once in a while, there's a bagel, right?
Well,
not today.
No.
Sorry. 800-323-9262.
You got to stay here. Keep working.
9262 or WAMC.org. The roundtable panel will begin after news from the BBC.